brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone, to this suds segment. Just going off the script.
All right.
I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and joining me today at the table is good old boy Kendall.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey. And good old boy Dave.
I love it when you do alliteration.
Recently, we started a new series, and we call it Beer Club.
Beer Club.
Beer Club. Think of a book club, but with records and beer.
So it's not really a book.
Oh, it's Beer Club. Not Bear Club. Okay.
Oh,
that's a different thing.
That's a much different thing.
Oh, I don't think our fans are ready for that.
No, I don't think I'm ready for that. Someone picks an album, we all listen to it, then we each pick a beer we think pairs well with it. Then we'll sit around and each of us will share our beer and talk about why we think it pairs well with the album. And we'll also talk a little bit about the album and what our favorite tracks and, you know, how it made us cry or didn't make us cry or whatever, you know. We'll do stuff.
Good old gal Juliana, since you picked the album, why don't you tell us about it?
Well, today I thought of a cool compilation. Being a child that was born in the very, very early 70s, when I became a teenager, John Hughes films were the rage.
They were so good.
They were, right?
Except this one.
Okay, this one wasn't bad.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It wasn't.
Sorry. It's not sorry. Top five.
For the men that are sitting here in the room with me, they may not enjoy this one as much as some others. Ferris Bueller Day Off, I'm sure you guys would rank in your top five.
Breakfast Club.
But the one that I wanted to talk about today is Pretty in Pink. And maybe it's because of the whole Barbie theme that's going on now. And this is, I can't get behind Barbie, but maybe I can get behind this kind of thing. Anyways.
Well, you are a Barbie girl living in a Barbie world.
No, I am not.
Maybe that's
at all.
Me.
But I enjoyed the soundtrack, I think, even more than the movie. Because for the time, it had like all of these great bands. And this is back when soundtracks, for the most part, were just as good as the movie, sometimes even better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'd be hard pressed to find some really like a lot of soundtracks that are actually more than just one or two songs. You
right.
know what I mean? But back then, it was a great thing. So, what I'm talking about, of course, is Pretty in Pink. It came out in 1986.
It's a great year.
Right? Well, it's a great, yeah. Good year for you, right?
Yep. You're a graduated high school.
Woohoo.
I had just become a man at age 13.
Oh, how sweet. Okay. They had a series of hits that came out of there. I mean, and if you look at the list of bands that played on this record, it's kind of cool. You have OMD, which had If You Leave, which was very popular.
No one under the age of 40 knows what OMD stands for.
Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
Thank you.
There
okay.
you go.
Sorry. Then another song was Left of Center, which is by Suzanne Vega and Joe Jackson. What a great combination that was, you know. Jussie Johnson did a song. INXS did a song. The Psychedelic Furs did a song. New Order, Bluey Soom, Danny Hutton Hitters, Echo and the Bunnymen, The Smiths. I mean, there was a nice...
Yeah, especially when you start throwing out INXS, Psychedelic Furs, The Smiths, and Echo and the Bunnymen. That's some classic 80s, kind of alternate 80s. A lot of them didn't have a lot of big top 40 hits, but they were really well known.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were. They certainly did the circuit. So this was like a nice little greatest hits, if you will, of stuff, which I thought was pretty cool.
A lot of early members of the MTV club, you know, getting some of those videos.
Yeah.
In.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at that. So that's the record that we're going to discuss with today. All right, good old boy Dave, why don't you give us the Suds ratings, and then we will be on our way.
Sure. We'll be discussing and rating these beers while we discuss Pretty in Pink. With these Suds ratings, and we'll be rating them with our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1, that sucks, giving anything but a bud. 2, was that a belch? 3, ah, what a relief. 4, a body should really not make that sound. And 5, listen to that hang time, give me another.
Okay, let's get to it. So, the beer that I brought to go along, and I'm using that term loosely, beer, because it's actually a
it's
cider
a beer.
That I brought, to go along with the Pretty in Pink soundtrack, sticking with a pink theme, if you will, is from Beak and Skiff Apple Orchards in Lafayette, New York, mm-hmm. Or it could be Lafayette, New York, not sure. It's the 1911 Black Cherry Hard Cider. This is 6.9% ABV. And it's electrifyingly crisp and slightly tart with the flavor of black cherries in their cider. I wanted to have something that kind of went along with this whole Pretty in Pink thing. And also something I would think would go with all the major characters that played.
So which character does this go with?
Probably the main Andy.
No, I'm thinking it's got Ducky all over it.
Ducky,
yeah. Ducky looks like a cider drinker.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
See, I would think that Andy would like this because it's pink. It's not quite champagne. Like, she couldn't afford pink champagne, but she could go with pink cider.
She was a tough girl from the wrong side of the tracks. Okay. Broken home.
Okay.
You know. She ain't got time for no pink cider.
And for those of you that don't know this movie, John Hughes was a great director in the sense that he wrote all these coming of age, very relatable almost characters for like the teenage and early 20 something group. There always was a love theme. That would permeate through each of these movies. In particular, so there was this girl named Andy, and she was from the wrong side of the tracks, yeah. Played by Molly Ringwald, and she had a thing for this guy named Blaine, who was played by Andrew McCarthy. Well, he was a rich kid, and, you know, rich kids and non-rich kids don't go along well.
John Hughes
in high school
movies were always very good about breaking out the social hierarchy mm-hmm. in high
sure.
school.
Yeah, and this is almost completely opposite of the character she plays in Breakfast Club, where she was
yeah.
the rich kid.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But it was something that resonated to me because those cliques were there
oh, yeah.
in school. I'm sure they still are to this
They're
day.
They're universal, yeah.
To a degree. Yeah, so this, like, you know, you wanted to root for the girl. Well, I wanted to root for the girl because you always want, you know, right to prevail.
I always rooted for the drunk, rich bullies.
Oh, you know, so that's you were a fan of Slater?
Yeah.
Yeah. Played by the legendary James Spader.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And he plays the same character in the 80s everyone. Till today.
Yeah, exactly.
He does. He's such a butthole. He's a good butthole.
He plays the jerk better than anybody.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. He just he's got that look.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, yeah, that's yep.
Yeah,
that's
so shady. So shady. And it centers around prom and the whole like angst of prom and all that stuff too. But I wanted to have I wanted to get something that was pink, and this was that, and I thought this was
how do you like it?
A good I like it a lot. Yeah. But I'm a big fan of cherries anyways, and I think that it's not super sweet. Mm-hmm. You can taste the cherries coming through. It's very pleasant.
Yeah. What do you think, Kendall?
It's not a bad cider. I'm not the biggest cider fan, but I like what the cherries do for this. You do get that sweetness in the middle, but then it starts drying out after you know, in the aftertaste. You get that dryness and that kind of cherry flavor, but it's not like fake cherry flavor like cough syrup or cough drops.
It's real.
It's real, and it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think if good old boy Sparky was here, he would remind us that he is a cherry whore, and he would really like this. I like it, too, and honestly, I would encourage anyone who steers towards hard seltzers, try this kind of thing instead, because you're getting a lot of flavor. It's probably got a little, few more calories, but at least it's a real drink. But I couldn't tell you, if you just poured this in a cup, I don't know that I could pick out any apple to call it a cider, but I think the cherry flavor on it is tremendous, and I really like it, too.
Yeah, I'm not really getting a lot of apple either, but that's okay. I'm not going in with it, like, wanting a straight cider.
This could just be a cherry beverage.
Yeah, you know? It could be, but it's in the best way.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of 1911 anyways. I think they do a nice variety of ciders.
Yep.
Like across the board, they also have an interesting array of fruits that are added in, you know, to their base line of the cider.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, yeah, this was a good idea. Well, what shall we rate this? Yeah, okay. The 1911 Black Cherry, we are going to rate a 4. Oh, and I got to talk about like the favorite song on the soundtrack.
Yeah, what's your favorite song?
And that was really, really hard.
I know, it was hard to find a good song on there, but...
Excuse you. No. Because I have seen a good amount of these bands in concert. Like, I've seen NXS live only once. The Furs and New Order I've seen a few times. Echo I saw once. And the Smiths. Oh, Smiths are my jam. I mean, so, so, so much my jam. But I'm going to say... I'm going to say, Wouldn't It Be Good, or And Please, 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 because of the Smiths. And I love Morrissey so much for his crazy shenanigans as being androgynous.
He's such a happy guy. Like when
right?
He sings, he
oh,
sings.
Happy, happy, happy.
Yeah.
Him and Mr. Smith from The Cure, those two are the happiest people I've ever
seen. Oh, yeah, they are.
On stage. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, which makes me wonder, like, what they were behind closed doors. I'm sure they showed a little bit of emotion at some point in their life, you know?
I don't know. Morrissey's British, right? I don't think they have emotions.
Some Brit, they do have a couple emotions.
Stiff upper lip, buddy.
I think they only come out twice a year, but I think they do have emotion. No?
No, they have to give those up.
Ah. Fine. Well, yeah, I'm going to say that those are...
So just like with every other special thing, you can't pick one favorite.
No, I can't. Because this soundtrack just means like so much to me, and I played it so
It doesn't
much.
Matter what it is. You cannot pick one favorite thing.
I like all my children. What can I say? All right, we'll be back with more musings of Pretty in Pink with some nicely colored beverages in just a minute.
The destination, cool. But baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. To the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone, Today is yet another episode of Beer Club.
Beer Club.
Beer Club.
And today we're talking about the Pretty in Pink soundtrack. Not necessarily for the movie, though the movie was cool. And we're talking about the music that made up the soundtrack, as well as some very pretty colored beverages in front of us. So I just finished my take. Now let's move on to good old boy Kendall. What did you bring today?
Well, since this is John Hughes's most girly movie ever made.
Truth.
I went with a girly beer. Also a pink beer.
And
I went into the liquor store and it's like, what is the pinkest beer I can find that I still want to drink? So, not to disparage the movie. I just watched it again last week. It's a cute movie. It just, nothing will ever stand up to Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
It's fair. Even Matthew Broderick was like, I am basically Ferris Bueller for eternity at this point.
But anyway, I still picked a good beer. This is from our friends at Schwartz Brewing out of Michigan that we love very
Woo-hoo!
Much.
We, yes.
we know they make great beers. And this Schwartz. Is actually, it's a golden ale brewed with strawberries and milk sugar. And they call it Strawberry Schwartz Cake.
Aww.
So we've got a little strawberry ale here, a little strawberry lactose. And it is a very pink can. And I don't want to disparage it because it's a delicious beer, even though it looks a little girly.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, what's a little strawberry lactose?
Yeah, we're going from cherry to strawberry.
Yeah.
But it does have kind of that strawberry shortcake flavor to it.
It does. And strawberry is an interesting flavor to put in a beer. I mean, you almost have to use like overripe strawberries to really get the right kind of flavor.
And the strawberry really comes through on this. I think they balanced it out nicely. You still know you're drinking a beer. It's not overly fruity. Got a nice finish on it.
Golden Ale is a nice palate to let this
It's a
be.
Nice base.
Yeah.
Yeah, the beer is, you know, not the star of the show here. It's the strawberries really stand out. And that milk sugar gives it a nice creaminess, too.
And it's not overdone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
What do you think, buddy?
And it so could go off the rails. Like, I'm sure we've had a beer or two in our life recently that...
It's like, did you have to use the whole bag
of lactose?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh, I think this is nice. So it's sort of trendy in the sense of, you know, having the milk sugar in there, but it's not overly trendy. And I think as a summer refresher, it's perfect. I could see this, you know, in Michigan. Like I you know,
and guess which character I think would really enjoy this beer.
Tell me which character.
I forget her name in the movie, but our favorite Annie Potts.
I love Annie Potts. So, oh, is that Iona?
Yep. Iona.
She's great. Owner? She's been around forever. She's still acting regularly.
Yeah.
You know, I think she got famous on
Designing Women. And then Ghostbusters.
Yeah, and Ghostbusters. And now she's playing Sheldon Cooper's grandma and young Sheldon. But yeah, she's really young in Pretty in Pink.
And she does such a great 360 because in the beginning you see her character as this, you know, punky, black, vinyl-y, pleathery, angsty almost person. And then, you know, she does a complete 180.
Yeah, she's fun.
Yeah.
She's the most fun one in the movie. I loved her character.
Yeah, she's really, really cool. Really cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, is there... Okay, so I'm not expecting much out of you two in terms of this movie. You know, it being like a big fave.
Which
as much
song
as it was
made
for
you
me.
Cry the most, Kendall?
You know, there's only one song on this list that I'm going to go with. You know, Class of 86. I think probably 95% of the high schools in America chose this as their senior class song. And that is... If You Leave by OMD.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, prom. How much royalties did they get off proms in the 80s?
Right?
Yeah. So this was, this song was everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it was our class's Don't You Forget About Me. Class of 85 really screwed us over. They got Breakfast Club and Don't You Forget About Me. Yeah. We got Pretty in Pink and If You Leave. But still, it's a great song. And I feel like OMD didn't do much after this. They kind of peaked with this one.
I think so. I think that's fair.
But it's a really good song. It's still catchy. You still hear it on kind of the pop oldies. I heard it. I was walking through the grocery store the other day, and it was on.
Really? Oh, wow.
But yeah, this was my senior class song, and yeah, I definitely played it at prom and all that good stuff. But it's a fun one.
Fun song, fun beer.
Wow, that's cool. And yeah, looking at this, they really did not do much.
Yeah, after. I feel like 83, 84 was some of their bigger hits, and then they hit this one in 86, and then
they were like,
just
hey.
Kind of faded away.
Yeah, they had a record in 86 and then didn't do another one until 91. Interesting, though, they are going to release a record this year in 2023.
Really?
Yeah. Their last record was in 2017. It was called The Punishment of Luxury. But I believe that they're...
Are they all still original? There's like literally no way it's all the original people.
I don't think so.
They're doing like a care assisted living facility tour.
Stop it. Stop it. No, they're past members. They've got like 8 that, you know, so there's been a change, if
to,
you will.
To do one song. Okay.
Yeah. That's so cool. They were present. They were active from 78. That's when they started. Like, that blows my mind because I don't remember. Well, not well, that probably, I would remember much in 78.
Well, when they first started, they probably, it yeah. probably took them a while. To...
I think that, you know, I feel like 83, 84 was like the high point of the dancey pop of the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I can't yeah. remember any of the songs, but if I heard them, it's like, oh, yeah, that's OMD.
Sure, yeah. sure. So from 78 to 96, and then they took 10 years off and started back up in 06. Yeah. So,
well, I'm okay. glad they're back.
It's no, great. I mean, that's a good song to go with.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Pretty
so
cool.
So, what do you want to rate the shorts?
The cake? Strawberry shorts, I think is a good solid 4. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Good old boy Dave. What did you bring to the party?
Well, I went anti-pink, but I wanted to do something that was trendy. And like I was like, well, what's trendy in beer right now? And it's like, well, cold IPA is like the latest sort of trend. And so I was like, well, then I've never had one. So, you know, I'm going to go with that. So this is Polar Bears and Penguins. It's a 7% cold IPA from Jackalope Brewing Company here in Nashville, Tennessee. And I've never tried it. So let's try it together.
Okay, Kendall, what in God's name is a cold IPA?
It's funny. I've been reading up on a lot of this because what they're saying is it's not an IPL. IPLs are traditional. They've got almost that caramelly note. They're the traditional sea hops. They're just lager versions of the classic kind of
right.
you know Pacific Northwest IPA. Brewed IPA used enzymes to get it super dry. What cold IPA is very much like in an American macro lager as far as, you know, the grain bill goes. A lot of them I'm reading are using corn and rice to really get it, you know, crisp and
super
dry.
Light,
okay.
yeah.
It's mostly fermented with lager yeast. I think you can do ale yeast cold on these. But the main thing is that grain bill. It's pils, you know, a lot of them are using Pilsner malt and corn or Pilsner malt and rice.
Wow.
And then they should be crystal clear, you know, crisp, easy drinking. But they're really a beer to make that showcases the hops. In some ways, they're like a Pilsner. You know, they're not that different, I would say, from an Italian Pilsner, okay. where they really
Got
showcase
it.
The hops. But they're using a lot of American and New World, like New Zealand, Australian hops.
Nice.
Okay. So yeah, because I'm getting, I'm. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. It's there's so many substyles of IPA now, it's hard to keep up, and I know a lot of people dismiss the cold IPA, but after yeah. reading even the creator of the style, he was saying, no, this is really meant to be different. And then when he explained it, it's like, oh yeah, it kind of makes sense. I mean,
sure.
I think how we're slicing it up is really, really interesting because there are all these now lager style IPAs out there.
Yeah.
But generally, I'm a fan of this style if it's done well, because all it is a crisp, easy drinking, hop forward beer. And who doesn't love yeah. that?
No, and I like what you said about like kind of comparing it to, you know, because we've even like the Italian Pilsner, but or even how some breweries use Pilsner as for their single hop beers to kind of showcase a specific hop. And I think that that kind of seems like kind of what they're doing here, because this beer is super light body, very clear, easy to drink, and yeah, it's like you're not focusing on anything other than the hops in this beer.
Yeah. When I was in San Diego for HomebrewCon, I got to hit a few breweries that were doing this style, and they were all really great, because yeah. I'm always going to love an easy drinking hop forward beer. It just sure. Absolutely. I don't care what you call it.
Yeah.
No, I mean that makes sense. And having a Pilsner, there are so many new hops that have landed on the market. And then I can't
keep up.
Exactly. I'm like kind of confused. I almost need to have like a family tree in front of me to figure out where some of these are coming from. But as a home brewer, it's making me want to make a lot of Pilsners with just one mm-hmm. hop and like try new hops, you know, to get that on my palate and to say, oh, well, this is, you know.
Yeah.
Now I know when I see this in the listing of ingredients to know what it's going to taste like, because a lot of them just get so muddled, like, to me, when you're talking about New England IPAs or just big old IPAs where you're using, like, you know, 6-7 different types that just get lost in each other.
Yep.
Hop salad.
Okay, yeah. So is 7%, you said this was 7%? Is 7% yep. ABV in the wheelhouse? Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, this is lovely.
Yeah, I think this is a nice little beer.
I'd like to taste it ice cold right out of the fridge, because these beers are meant to be drank.
Yeah, well, yeah. We can do that right after the show.
But yeah, it's nice.
So which character would be drinking this beer, Dave?
None of them. They're all...
Oh, I don't know. I think Steph would. He seems like an IPA bro.
Maybe one of those... I was going to say maybe one of the rich kids.
One of the rich kids.
Pounding it because mm-hmm. his parents could afford to buy it and keep it in the fridge. Yeah.
And keep him out of jail when he wrecked the car for driving drinking and driving.
That's yeah. I think Ducky would be like, oh, guys, I hate hops. Oh. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite song on
Well... I was going to say, please, 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 please let me have what I want by the Smiths, because I, too, am a Morrissey fan. But since you already took that one, it is one of your top 12 out of the 11 songs.
It wasn't her number one, though, so you can go with that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with that one. I also like Bring on the Dancing Horses, because I like Echo and the Bunnymen. Yeah. But yeah, I'm a big Morrissey and Smiths fan. I like Sadness and... you know,
melancholy,
bitching about not getting what you want. So yeah, that's me.
None of us picked the Psychedelic First song.
It's up there. It's nice.
It's a good one. It's my number two.
Yeah,
it's in my top five. It's in my top five.
It's like 12 songs on the album. Yeah, it's got a top 12. Yeah.
So, well, it's sorry. That's the way it goes. Yeah. Okay, so what shall we rate?
Polar bears and penguins. Yeah.
Solid 4 for Jackalope. Right. Woohoo! Well, I think this was a good pairing.
Yeah.
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 This was pretty cool. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Beer Club. Good old boy Kendall, thanks for being here.
It was a lot of fun.
Cool. Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about good news of good beer at beermakes3.com, and follow us at bm3.beer as we travel around all the breweries in Tennessee in 23.
Cool. Good old boy Dave.
Gag me with a spoon.
Of course. This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.